Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. And we are glad to have you with us today and glad to have basketball back a little bit in the Big Ten. Obviously, it's not on TV. These are workouts with coaches. Yesterday was the first day that coaches could actually be involved in some of these off-season workouts that are going on, voluntary workouts, I should mention, of course, right now with the COVID-19 stuff. But 11 of the 14 Big Ten schools worked out yesterday with their coaches. This is according to Jeff Goodman. Rutgers and Ohio State will do so today, and Wisconsin, Jeff has been told, will not work out with their coaches at least until sometime in early August. So we're getting some movement and activity back on the basketball court and with the basketball coaches involved as we start to look ahead to next season. And I know, like you guys, I cross my fingers, obviously care a lot about football and care about the high school seniors and the athletes that have missed out on so much so far, but really want to see us have basketball season, both from a high school and college perspective. So let's hope that we can get some new normal set, we can get football going, and that everything is safe, and we can move into the basketball season at some point, even if it has to be delayed, even if it has to look a lot different. I just hope that we get to watch Big Ten basketball this winter and some of the local things, obviously, in high school this winter. Glad to have you with us today. Lots to get to. We always do this hour show live each weekday at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And if you ever can't join us live at 11 here on the Big X, of course, we're 1450 a.m., 96.1 FM, streaming online. If you're not in the area, the immediate area, BigXSportsRadio.com. You can click the Listen Live button. All sorts of ways to join us each day. But if you can't miss it, make it live, find us as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on SoundCloud. It's a real easy way to catch up with us each day so you never miss anything going on with IU and Southern Indiana sports. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. And today in segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines. There are a number of things to talk about today. First off, a big recruiting decision will be made on Thursday night. We'll tell you about that. Blake Wesley, who is a big in-state prospect for the Hoosiers from up in South Bend, he is going to cut his list coming up soon. More on that as well. And yesterday was a big day for high school football across the country as far as, you know, our season's going to be played, our season's going to be pushed back, our season's going to be canceled. And some states made decisions yesterday. Others are still mulling over decisions, but we'll take a look at some of that stuff as well. And also a really positive note on coronavirus testing from within the NBA bubble as we all get excited about the return of Vic Oladipo, it looks like, with the Pacers, of course, Romeo Langford with the Celtics, and just seeing live basketball throughout the day. It's going to be pretty cool, even if you're not the biggest NBA guy. But some good news out of Orlando, at least so far, in the bubble, and we'll tell you about that coming up in our Zaxby's headlines in just a few minutes as well. Also, later in the show, Tuesdays, always a chance to have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. You know Greg, he's crazy. We have lots of fun with him, and in this pandemic time, we've been talking a lot of sports, a lot about how coronavirus is affecting sports and the future of sports. And we've been talking some non-sports topics as well. And I'm sure that that will all continue today with Greg when he joins us in segment number two today, coming up in just a bit. Also, later in the show, we always have Mike Pegram of the Pegs.com website with us on Tuesdays to talk IU basketball and football. We'll hone in on some basketball recruiting stuff today. And obviously, we'll check in on the IU football program, which is temporarily paused as far as their voluntary workouts go, as six participants just within last week tested positive for the coronavirus. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure to visit your Honey Baked Ham store and check out all the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, pickup is available, and of course, curbside service. If you call ahead, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I mentioned at the very top of the show that 11 of the 14 Big Ten schools' men's basketball teams had voluntary workouts with their coaches yesterday. Rutgers and Ohio State expected to do so today. Wisconsin, it's been reported by Jeff Goodman, will wait until early August. Speaking of Jeff Goodman, his daughter interviewed Archie Miller yesterday, and it's a fairly brief Instagram interview. It was done live on Instagram, and this is one of the few times since the, I guess, early part of the pandemic that we've heard from Archie Miller. There really haven't been any media availabilities. He did do a couple podcasts and a couple one-off interviews earlier in March and April, if I remember correctly. But I've got this one queued up. I'm going to watch it after the show. So if you want to hear from Archie talking IU basketball with Jeff Goodman's daughter, she's pretty young. She's getting a lot of good interviews with college coaches and other figures in sports. Obviously, her dad's very well connected. But you can watch Archie Miller in a brief chat with Jeff Goodman's daughter. So I'll be checking that out, see if there's any kind of breaking news in there. Also, from a recruiting perspective, an announcement will be made Thursday night. Jordan Longino, he's a 6'5" guard. He's from Fort Washington, Pennsylvania, so he's from the home state of Archie Miller and family. He plays at Germantown Academy, which is located not far, I believe, in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. He's going to announce his college decision Thursday evening, 8 p.m., July 23rd, so coming up 2 days from now. He tweeted this out yesterday. He's the number 96 player nationally in the 247 composite rankings. He's as high as number 32, though, in the 247 rankings alone. He is considering Indiana, Villanova, Virginia, Ohio State, Connecticut, Maryland, and Marquette. Those are the major schools that have offered and that are really serious or somewhat seriously involved in his recruiting at this late point. I will tell you, the 247 Sports Crystal Ball, where some of the recruiting experts get the opportunity to make their picks on where they think a specific prospect is going to go when they feel comfortable doing so. Villanova is the pick for Jordan Longino. So interesting to see that. And there's only one pick, I should say, in the crystal ball. Sometimes you get multiple picks, but one pick for Villanova. Again, there was just recently a prospect, I can't even remember his name, a couple weeks ago. It came down to Indiana. It came down to Villanova. Villanova was the big favorite. Villanova was picked in the crystal ball. Ultimately, he went to Villanova. We'll see what happens Thursday, but there is a thought that Indiana is in pretty good position with Jordan Longino. And, of course, it was Trey Patterson, the prospect a few weeks ago, that picked Villanova over Indiana. But will be interesting to see. Longino averaged a lot of points last year. Would be a great pickup for the Hoosiers. Of course, right now, only one prospect committed in that 2021 class. That's from Cincinnati Moeller, Logan Duncombe. But Trey Kaufman is a big target, as is Blake Wesley up in South Bend, who told yesterday some recruiting sites out there that he is going to trim his list of schools down to, I think it's just a trim, not a maybe a finalist list, but he's going to cut his list down in late August. So I think Indiana seems to be in good shape with him. Interesting to see who's on that list of, as he cut it to 3, 4, 5 schools. But a list cut is coming from Blake Wesley, and that could happen later in August. A couple high school notes related to what's going on with the coronavirus, the upcoming fall sports and football seasons. Indianapolis Public Schools over the weekend had announced that they are going to delay school by 2 weeks, and then yesterday came back and said that not only will they delay school by 2 weeks, but obviously that's going to affect their ability to play sports as well. So now in IPS schools in Indianapolis, all events that are August 29th or earlier will either be canceled or postponed. So you're looking at a handful of football games at a number of the Indianapolis public schools with football teams that are going to see their seasons adjusted. Either they're going to be short in games or they're going to have to rearrange their schedule at this point. But I honestly think as more and more schools get closer, and I'm even thinking here local schools, as more and more schools get closer to that start date, and as numbers in Indiana don't look great right now, they're not Arizona-like, they're not Texas-like, or really Florida's been the big one here recently, they're still not really going in a good direction. And so it's going to be interesting to see if schools delay the start of school or if schools make a last-minute decision, maybe after being delayed, to switch to e-learning for the first semester or the start of school, which obviously could affect some other things with fall sports as well. So we're keeping an eye on that here in the state. And across the country, it's interesting to see what other states are doing with their high school football as well. And yesterday, about the time we got off the air, California, their high school association, the California Interscholastic Federation, announced that football will be played in the spring. They released their entire sports calendar, basically, for this upcoming high school season. And really, a lot of the winter sports and a lot of the spring sports, with everything being pushed back from fall, even in the winter being pushed back some, they're kind of going to be on top of each other. So there's going to be some athletes in California. They're going to miss out on something because they just simply can't play that many multiple sports at one time. But football, a big deal in California. It's going to be played in the spring. Yesterday, the Florida High School Athletic Association, they had like a 5+ hour board meeting and ultimately decided to keep things status quo to open their high school camps on July 27th. But they are going to revisit things coming up again soon as they wait for some additional recommendations from their Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. And there was a vote to delay the start of football in Florida, which obviously we all know how big football, prep football, is in that state, and it did not pass last night. But they are waiting for some more information. Florida, I don't believe, is in the safe yet when it comes to high school football. And I tell you what, no matter what any state says, I'm not sure that anybody really is in the safe, because things can change so rapidly that right before the first game, just like we saw in the high school basketball tournament, we're good to go, we're good to go. That's all we heard all week. And then that Thursday, right before teams were really headed out of town down to their respective regional locations, or actually Friday, that's when the tournament was canceled. So keeping an eye on other states, Florida is a go so far. And we'll keep an eye on Texas. There's been some rumors out of Texas, but nothing announced just yet on what their high school football season could look like or could happen or not happen. That obviously is a big deal as well. And again, for now, Indiana is planning to move forward with fall sports and football, leaving things up to schools on a local jurisdiction, local basis, to make decisions on, are they going to play? Are they going to have e-learning? If they have e-learning, they want to have sports even though kids aren't in the school. A lot of decisions being put back to the local school districts that will have to make decisions depending on how things look with the virus in their community, depending on if they are in in-person school or if they are in e-learning at the start of the school year. Interesting times ahead, no question about it. Also, from the bubble in Orlando, some good news. 0 NBA players have tested positive for the coronavirus out of 346 tested at the Orlando campus since the last results were announced. And the last time we got an update on that stuff was July 13th. So that is good news. So far, without any games and competition, and I'm assuming much crossover of the teams, if at all, good news from a coronavirus standpoint. 0 tests positive out of 346 tested since July 13th. So good news for the NBA, which is scheduled to tip off with practice games later in the week. And, of course, Major League Baseball scheduled to begin on Thursday. The Yankees and the Nationals, the opening season game on Thursday to get this crazy shortened baseball season started as well. That's a look at our headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program. Our headlines each day are brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Drive-thrus open, dining rooms open to serve you safely at Zaxby's in Jeff and New Albany. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk Vic Oladipo, the Pacers. We'll talk a lot of stuff with Greg. IU voluntary football workouts shut down, and a lot more coming your way next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle, sports columnist with the Indianapolis Star, joins me every Tuesday as we talk sports and more. And it's presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, great to have you with us today. Getting closer to the return of the NBA. Actually had a little Major League Baseball, although an exhibition game, a scrimmage game on Sunday Night Baseball a few nights ago. And it seems like from sports, at least the pro perspective, things are getting ready to launch. But I know you penned a column, and I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to read it in its entirety yet, but you penned a column that has a pretty apt headline. It says, in the coronavirus era, we're just dying to have sports. Your thoughts on all of this stuff getting ready to begin?
Mixed, a little bit mixed. There is a part of me that, and it's a big part of me. You know, I've devoted, given, been shaped by whatever my whole life, sports, my whole life. I learned how to read because I was reading the sports page at age five. Sports is paying my bills. It's paying for my two kids. One's in college, one just graduated. It's paying for my ex-wife, who I love and want to take care of her. She's, you know, getting a lot of what I make, and that's fair and that's good. You know, it's paying for my retirement, which I would like to have someday. It doesn't do me any good to write what I wrote today. And yet I can't live my life and not say what I think needs to be said. Doesn't mean I'm right. You know, I don't like it when people are all cocky and arrogant. Well, I'm just speaking the truth. Well, it's your truth, right? I mean, you believe what you're writing or saying, and that's great, but don't assume that because your mouth opened and words came out that you're right. That's not the way it is. And that's not the way I am. I have no idea if I'm right, but I strongly believe I'm right. And to not write, to have my bosses tell me, you can write whatever you want, whenever you want. And to have this thought in my head and to not say it, I mean, it might drive me crazy if I didn't do it. So I wrote it. And what I wrote was, sports is, if we're going to have more sports, if we're serious about this, and I don't mean UFC fights. I mean, if we're going to really bring 100,000 people to Indy 500, if we're really going to play college football, if we're really going to play NFL, and all these people are going to interact and fans are going to maybe come, maybe not, but the players are going to interact and go back out in the community and interact with people. And if we're really going to do all this, we're going to need more body bags. And that's just the way it is. And if people are okay with that trade, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging you for that. If you're okay with that trade, I'm not going to judge you for that. What I'm judging people for is telling me I'm wrong, or telling me that I hate sports, telling me that I don't know. I'm judging people for not at least recognizing the risk is real. The risk is real, and if you guys are okay with the risk, okay. But don't tell me the risk isn't real. That's what I'm judging you on that one, because do not tell me that the sun rises in the west. Don't tell me that, because there's a lot of science that says it rises in the east. Don't tell me that water boils or water freezes at 32 or less. or don't tell me that it doesn't. Because science says it does. There's a lot of science, studies and whatever, a lot of real life and real death has happened. We know what's going to happen if we open it up for sports. And we're going to need more body bags.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. How do you feel, Greg, about the bubble in Orlando where there really aren't fans? I guess later at some point there's going to be some family allowed in. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about Major League Baseball where there's no fans in the stands? Is it okay to play that because it's not really a risk to the fans? They're not going to pack them in there? Or do you still feel like it's a questionable risk even for the athletes?
Well, first of all, if you remember, I know I remember telling you last time we spoke that I've been right every step of the way. And I don't enjoy that because every step of the way I've been negative. And I've been right every step of the way. I was wrong about the NBA. They mentioned the NBA being played in a bubble has been mentioned since about May. And I said, that'll never happen. That will never happen. And I was wrong about that. So I'm not always right. I just want to make sure I own up to that one. And not only that, but as far as I can tell, unless I've missed it or they're hiding it, and I don't think they'd hide it, I don't think there's been a positive test inside the bubble yet.
Yeah.
Has there?
Zero of 360-something tests since July 13th. I just read that in the headlines today. So here recently there hasn't. And I'm not sure. I think some players were positive before they left or maybe when they first arrived and they had them at other hotels. But I believe you're right. Since the bubble has went into effect, very few breaches and zero positives that we've seen.
I find it hard to believe they've only done 360 tests since July 13th. You said 13th?
Yes.
I mean, that's 8 days. That's 40 tests a day. That means that's basically three rosters. That number doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe that number. If you want to tell me there's been no positive tests, okay. If they want to grab 300 positive tests and say 300 perfects, okay. But there's no way they tested just 300 times. There's just no possible way. However, there's been no news, no reports, and Shams and Adrian Wojnarowski would have it if someone was sick. I do wonder, and I'm stopping short of – it's okay to wonder, people. I'm stopping far short of accusing. But I do wonder, when there's been no positive tests, none, but there have been a handful of players have left the bubble for, quote, personal reasons. Zion is one of them. I don't know who the other one is. Pretty good athlete, I forget, but – I wonder, are you leaving because you tested positive and they don't want to say that out loud? I'm not accused. I just wonder because nothing else makes sense. It doesn't make sense that no one's tested positive. However, if what's happening in Orlando is what it appears to be, which is the bubble is working, I'll be damned. That's terrific. That's about Major League Baseball. I think that's safe. That's as safe as anything else. I think those players have just a good chance of getting sick, being with their family and going to Kroger. So I got no problem with Major League Baseball playing with no fans. I really have no problem with that. And they're flying charter, so they're not flying on planes with the rest of us. They're fine with that. It's because there's not a whole lot of in-person contact. There's some, but it's not like football. Football I'm not so fine with, but we'll have to see. I'm open to the idea that these guys can play with no fans, and if they do get sick, they'll contain it themselves, and they'll be on it fast, and they'll quarantine themselves, and they won't be the reason that we have an outbreak nationwide. However, college football, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. There's 100 schools times 100 players. That's 10,000 people banging bodies in practice every day and then going to campus and interacting with thousands of students. That can't happen. I mean, it's like the Indy 500 with 150,000 people on August 23rd. That simply can't happen. You can get mad at me for saying it can't happen, but it's like the same thing as dropping a person in boiling water. That can't happen. And if you're mad at me for saying we shouldn't boil people alive, so be it. We shouldn't boil people alive, and we shouldn't let thousands of kids play football and then go out to college and infect everybody else, or be infected by everybody else and bring it back to the football team. That can't happen.
Yeah, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Let me ask you one more thing about Major League Baseball, or let me bring it up at least. I found this extremely interesting. In fact, it's how you started this column we're talking about. The Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays, they cannot play at their home field, the Rogers Center. Of course, I think every other major league team is playing at their home stadium just without fans. But the Canadian government won't let them play, and I'm assuming that's because they don't want consistently Americans coming into the country to play baseball for a day or two and then go back. That's a very interesting situation, and the Blue Jays are kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do now, where they're going to play.
Yeah, yeah, it's not only they don't want American teams coming to Canada, they don't want the Blue Jays coming to our country,
right,
getting sick and bringing it back. It's really kind of humbling. It's Neo. What movie is Neo in with Keanu Reeves? The Matrix. in the Matrix with Agent Smith. That, you know, that anyway, Agent Smith's talking to Keanu, and he's kind of like rubbing his fingers, thumb across when they've got Keanu trapped, and you know, and they're rubbing his thumb across the across Neo's forehead and saying, and they think of you as a disease. Like they people in the Matrix, people like you, you're a disease. So we're trying to kill you off because you're going to make everybody else sick. That's what other countries think of us. We're a disease. Our entire country, like Europe, won't let us come over there without quarantining. Canada won't let the Blue Jays play in our country because that means they got to come back. It's amazing how badly we've done. And so that's why I really can't hear people telling me that. I just can't hear it. I mean, I can hear it, but I'm not listening to you. Tell me that I'm wrong about this or I'm being too hard about it. I mean, the world is telling us we're screwing this up. The world is the world wrong? Is everybody wrong? This is not the world. It's not flat. The world. Well, everybody thought the world was flat. Yeah, this isn't that. There is no science saying the world was flat. There's science now saying we're wrong, and people are dying, and they're not going to die because Americans are going to come into their country. That's rather humbling. But real quick, one of the cities the Blue Jays are thinking about playing is Toronto. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh. It's close by, and it's got a major league facility. They're talking about maybe sharing PNC Field, Park, whatever, with the Pirates. What's fascinating about that town is we're having a shortage of tests. One reason I wrote what I wrote today is there's a shortage of tests, and worse than tests, there's a shortage of laboratories to work on tests. So there's a long backlog of getting results. So there are in all over the place. If you get a test for COVID right now, it'll be a week probably before you find out, which means you're going to spend a whole week infecting people before you find out whether or not you're sick or not. Well, in Pittsburgh, the wait is so bad that they're telling people, if you think you're sick, if you want the COVID test, Just go ahead and assume you have it, quarantine for 14 days, because we can't get your test back in time in 14 days. It's faster just to quarantine now and pretend you have it than to wait 14 days, get everybody else sick around you before we finally tell you, hey, guess what, you're sick. That's how bad it is in Pittsburgh. They don't even want to test you anymore because we can't give you the test result in time anyway. So the Blue Jays are going to go there? Okay, terrific.
Interesting. I know a few folks that got tested last week got the results back in 15 minutes. And I believe that was either Louisville or Frankfort, Kentucky, they went for testing.
I need to know where. I need to know how. I need to know how much they paid, because just Google testing delays, and you see in cities everywhere what's happening. And again, Pittsburgh, that's real. In Pittsburgh, government officials are telling people, don't get tested. We can't get it back to you in 2 weeks.
Wow.
You're telling me in 15 minutes in Louisville, that's awesome. But I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I'll double back into that. That's interesting stuff. Along the same topic, but a little closer to home, IU football. We got a very optimistic Tom Allen earlier last week talking about, and again, I think that's how coaches should be, and be positive and look to the future. But a very optimistic coach, it sounded like, in his media availability, talking about what the season could look like and some things going on with his program. And then, of course, Friday afternoon, we find out that IU football has paused workouts after six people within the football program tested positive for COVID-19 just within the last week, Monday through Friday. That hits a little closer to home. I think Indiana, the second Big Ten football program that's had to at least temporarily shutter these voluntary workouts that are going on, definitely makes you think twice about it, makes you think a little harder about it when it's something right in your backyard.
Yeah, and it's a graph, it's a chart, and where we are right now is not where we're going to be in a month. If six IU players are sick already, and they haven't even started fall classes yet, and they really haven't even been practicing together very long, if that's already happening now, what's it going to look like in 3 weeks? I mean, everybody knows the answer to that. I want to – about Tom Allen, yes, he's got to be – all the people in charge have to – until they shut it down, they have to go with the assumption that it's going to work. Otherwise, it'll never work. If you don't think you're going to – if on July 21st you don't think the NFL will play on September 30th, then why bother? You've got to go forward like you're going to do it until it's pulled away. I get that. However, coaches like Tom, you can go too far, though. You can go too far. And when Tom Allen says what he says, here's the way the world looks at that. The world loves it. They love Tom Allen for saying that. They're so happy. He's telling me what I want to hear. I like Tom Allen. And then you got Greg Doyle over here. He's telling me what I don't want to hear. I don't like Greg Doyle. A month from now, when college football season is shut down, and I was right and Tom Allen was wrong, is anybody going to say, you know what, I kind of like Greg Doyle because he told me what was happening and he didn't let me get my hopes up? No, we're just going to remember, but I like Tom Allen because I don't even know why I like him, I just do. And I don't like Greg, I don't really even know why I don't like him, I just don't. that's just it's the way it is, and it's hard to be when you're sensitive, and I am. It's hard to be in the public eye, and I granted his eye is much bigger than mine, but it's hard to be in the public eye and be the guy saying these hard truths, and these are truths. When people don't want to hear the truth, it's a very risky thing. People actually think it's easy to get on the radio or maybe to write what I wrote, you know, in the Stars in the paper today. It's online right now. That's not easy. I'm going to lose subscribers. People are going to not like me. That's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. Meanwhile, people out there aren't willing to stop going to the lake and hanging out with 1,000 people. Like Lake Michigan up in northern Indiana, mm-hmm. They had to shut that down Friday night. They had to shut it down because too many people were coming. They had unprecedented crowd. Imagine that. Unprecedented crowds at Lake Michigan right now, so bad that the mayor said we're shutting it down because you people can't handle prosperity. That's the problem with America. We can't handle prosperity, and we're too fatigued. Imagine us trying to fight the war. Like, imagine this is World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, whatever. If we're too fatigued to wear a mask, imagine the fatigue that the generations before us overcame. It's embarrassing how weak we are.
Very good point. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. One other thing before we go, Victor Oladipo, after saying he wasn't going to play but still make the trip and wanting to make sure he was healthy and ready for next season, he practiced some with the team, which I think was expected he would do that. The workouts went really well, and I think the latest is it's kind of been up in the air. You can let me know what you've heard or what you know, but it looks like he's going to join the Pacers now as far as playing in games in the bubble.
Nate McMillan says Vic will play Thursday in the preseason opener against Portland, and then we'll see how it goes from there. So, in other words, Vic has gone from saying, I'm not playing, to he's playing. He's playing. He's now in. Now, if he has a setback, obviously he's not playing anymore, but he's going into this, I'm going to play. And there's one reason and one reason only he's going to play. And it's because he found out he was going to lose $3 or $4 million, whatever the rest of his salary was going to be, he was going to lose it. If he didn't play, the Pacers were going to pay him. And that's why he felt comfortable to say, I'm out. Because the Pacers said, hey, play Vic, don't play. We're not forcing you. We're going to pay you no matter what. Well, he heard that and he said, I'm out. Well, the NBA heard that and said, wait a minute, NBA, you know, Pacers, you know, you work for us. You can't pay him if he doesn't play because he's healthy. And so Vic is going to play for the money. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but we need to understand exactly what happened here. What didn't happen here was he didn't go to Orlando and realize, oh, I'm pretty healthy. I'm going to play after all. He was doing just fine before Orlando. I know I'll be writing this later today. He was working out before Orlando, doing stuff that nobody saw. He was fine. He knew he was fine, but he wanted that money, and I get it. But this all comes down to money. And the encouraging thing is Vic, I mean, you know, unlike a lot of athletes who pretend money doesn't matter, Vic is letting us know how much money matters. The Pacers will be the only team that can offer him a supermax kind of contract, you know, but being the Supermax is the wrong word, but they're going to be the only team that can offer him the extra year, the extra $40 million, whatever. He'll be a Pacer for life because he's going to get that money, and that's great. But let's just understand why he's playing and why he thought he wasn't.
Yeah, good stuff. Did not realize that. I think a lot of people just caught up in being excited he is going to play, but always something behind some of the decisions there. Greg, as always, thank you for the chat. Fun talk again today, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
We need to start having some double G, that's me, Greg with two G's, double G brought by double C, Coffee Crossing. It's got to be like a jingle in there somewhere. Someone's got to make up a song. It's double G and double C. But anyway, have the dark chocolate, enjoy the veal, and I'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, the Indianapolis Star, with us. Again, presented by our friends at Coffee Crossing, their locations across southern Indiana, open to serve you. Don't forget, many of those locations have a drive-through as well if you're not comfortable going inside establishments just yet. Couple notes before we get out of this segment. I mentioned in our headlines, our Zaxby's headlines earlier today, that Texas high school football had not made an announcement yet, but that was supposed to happen. Well, they've made that announcement now. Their big classes, 6A and 5A, their two biggest classes, they are going to bump back football by a month. That's where things stand for now. So for classes 5A and 6A in Texas, practice will start September 7th, while 1A through 4A in Texas will start as scheduled on August 3rd. It's been really interesting to see what some of the other states do. Also, I left this out. I had it in my notes. I overlooked it. The Borden-Henryville School Corporation, they are going to delay school by 2 weeks. It was scheduled to begin on July 29th. It's been bumped back to August 12th. So a two-week period added to the summer break as schools trying to figure out what's the right thing to do. Bring them back, go to e-learning down the road if we have to, or delay the start, the return, and who knows, maybe if this gives more time for an e-learning transition. But going to be real interesting to see what school systems across the state do. Right now, as far as what I've seen, the only school system that has totally committed to e-learning from the start of the school year is North Central High School, which is part of Washington Township. You got to believe that more will follow, and it's going to be interesting to see what all the local school corporations do here in Southern Indiana as well. And then, of course, after you figure out the educational component, what exactly happens with fall sports and football if they play, but your school is not in in-person learning? Will the schools be okay with sports going on? The IHSA is. They changed a bylaw last week that allows schools to still have sports teams and still play, even if they are in a e-learning or a virtual schooling, but it has to be e-learning through their school, where they live, taught by teachers of that school, and a number of regulations and requirements for that to take place. But on the other hand, just because that's the rule, the local school corporations can say, no, we don't want to play. If our kids aren't in school, we're not going to play sports. And so there's a lot of interesting decisions. It's not just about do we have high school football or not, do fall sports go or not. There's a lot of other things to look at as well. And, of course, keeping an eye on Jefferson County Public Schools across the river. What do they do? Do they go to virtual learning, whatever it's called in Kentucky, I think NTI, to start the year, which is what I think they are planning to do based on a Courier-Journal story last week. And if they do that, do they still play fall sports? Do they still maybe have varsity-only fall sports? It's going to be interesting all across the area, all across the country, to see what happens with high school and college sports. There's no question about that. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with our final segment today. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We're going to talk about Jordan Longino, who's set to make his decision Thursday night, a player from Pennsylvania that's down to Villanova, maybe the favorite. Indiana in the mix as well. We'll talk about that and more coming up next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back to talk some IU basketball and recruiting with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, who is always with us Tuesdays on the program. And Mike, a prospect, an out-of-state prospect, member of the 2021 class, Jordan Longino, 6'5" guard from Pennsylvania. He announced yesterday on his Twitter account that he's going to make a decision on Thursday evening. The Hoosiers are involved. The Hoosiers have some connections to him. But Villanova is thought by some to be the favorite. How do you take a look at this race? Where do you see Indiana? Is Villanova the favorite? And maybe a little more on Longino as a player and a prospect.
Well, I do think Villanova is a favorite. He's not been able to visit Indiana. He does have some family connections to the state and has been recruited for a while by Indiana, but given the fact he hasn't visited campus and a lot of feeling out east that Villanova is going to be the place, and that's where he's at right now, and that's closer to family, I'm guessing that'll be his choice. But he's an outstanding prospect, a big guy, plays some football, really thick, but can shoot the ball and has a great 6'4", 6'5" size for a big shooting power guard, really unique player, and will make whoever school he chooses much better.
Thursday night, the decision comes. Excuse me. I assume that he's obviously had the chance to visit the Villanova campus, although he hasn't had the opportunity to visit Bloomington, you said. That's got to be, at least when you look at this thing on paper, you would think something that would, if you're making a guess here, give Villanova the prediction to land Longino.
Right, yeah. even Logan Duncombe had a chance to come down for a game over the winter, so he knew what Bloomington was about, and met with staff and got a real good feel for the program, even though he wasn't able to make an April visit, which we thought might hurt Indiana. But that just that one time getting there and really, you know, sitting down with the people you would play with or play for makes a big difference. So even though he might have some familiarity with Indiana, we do think it's probably a long shot.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com is my guest. Obviously, AAU basketball is slowly going. It's nothing on the level that it normally would be this time of year. We'd have a wild month with colleges out recruiting and, of course, prospects playing in tournaments and camps across the country. That said, there have been some activity, and there was a really good tournament in Indianapolis over the weekend that featured some of the better teams, I guess, with no shoe circuit, no Nike EYBL, no Adidas gauntlet, the terrific 24 tournament. Dinos Tragonis from out in California, who's been putting on high school AAU events for years and years, he staged this one in Indianapolis, and it brought in a lot of big-name players, including some that Indiana interested in.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy that kids from out west and everything came all the way to Indiana during the middle of this pandemic to play basketball. But, you know, there's some good players from out west, and there's some guys that Indiana's looked at. So, that I know, that made it even more interesting. But, yeah, a lot of these things, what's different today versus a few years ago, is so many of these tournaments are streamed online or available to look at later. So just playing basketball and getting a video camera out there, it's helping accelerate the recruiting, you know, to keep us from being completely bogged down because of the visits aren't able to be made.
Talking with Mike Pegram of the Peaks.com website, you guys had a story on a local player, Will Lovings Watts of Jeffersonville, who has been hearing from Indiana and said he would like to set up a visit as soon as that is allowed. He continues to become a name in the 2022 class in the state that's getting some college interest. We know he's got two mid-major level offers. I think Bradley and Wichita State are his two offers at this point. But he's got a number of other schools that are calling and interested, and I think it's just a matter of time until he lands a bigger scholarship offer, maybe from a Big Ten level school.
Right. I think that maybe if he had a chance to play against a national, you know, shoe circuit type event, he might already have, you know, several more offers. But I got to see him live and put out video of him yesterday. Really outstanding player. Really has come along. He's always been a guy who's kind of arms and legs because he's got such a long wingspan and length, and he has good bounce. But now he's turning it into really good skills to go along with it, handling and shooting skills, really nice mid-range shot, and he's going to be a really good prospect. He just, you know, he has had the potential. Now he's starting to realize it, and you know, maybe compete for the second or third top spot in that class in the state of Indiana, at least.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. You can see some video and a story that Mike recently put together on Will Lovings Watts at the Peaks.com website. Final note here on football. Let's get some football in. Things are dormant right now in Bloomington as far as the voluntary football workouts go. Any word exactly how long Indiana football is expected to be off because of some positive COVID cases last week? Is it 14 days from when this was shut down on Friday, or do you know the exact time frame until Indiana football can give it a go again on the field?
You know, I don't know the exact time frame, but these things usually take 2 weeks from, you know, positive test results or when the symptoms started. So if it's more than one person, you might see the full 2 weeks here for the workouts. But it does come, the end of that does come, I think, before the expected, you know, normal start of a fall camp and regular football. So it did come just early enough maybe to not affect if Indiana goes on the regular start of true practice.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Real quick as well, jumping back to basketball, Archie Miller, and I had mentioned this earlier, he did a brief Q&A on Instagram yesterday with the daughter of Jeff Goodman, who's a national college basketball writer, really talking about, from what I saw, some general things for the most part. IU's first voluntary workout actually on the court with coaches was yesterday, and generally what sports and college hoops has been like during this COVID-19 pandemic. But anything from there, from that little brief interview, stand out? Because we don't hear from Archie much in the off season.
A couple things. I think he seemed to be talking quite a bit about the later start maybe making sense, maybe a December start, maybe after the first semester is over with some Big Ten games. I know a lot of people have talked about January 4th, but it does make a lot of sense maybe to play some games if they're really worried about transmission of the virus after the students leave, so they could work in maybe some conference games at that point before the year end. And then I thought he was very, you know, he didn't hesitate to praise what the impact of Christian Lander will be. Sometimes coaches will, you know, say, well, he's talented, but we'll see. But he had some good things to say, which means he's probably heard some things or maybe saw some things in the first workout that makes him think that even though Christian's going to be a year younger than a typical freshman, he might be able to help pretty significantly.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Peaks.com. Mike is with us Tuesdays as we talk IU basketball and football. Mike, thanks for the chat.
All right, talk to you next week.
That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday, excuse me, for this Tuesday edition of our program. Back with you Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, 11 a.m. right here on the Big X. And of course, if you missed the live show, you can catch us as a podcast. We're available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast as well. And to hope that no matter how you're with us, you're able to join us each day as we talk not just IU and sports, but things here from a local perspective in Southern Indiana as well. On our Wednesday program tomorrow, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic will join the program. We'll talk college hoops and football with him and some other great guests set to join us tomorrow and the rest of the week as well. I mentioned earlier that Borden Henryville School Corporation announcing a two-week delay to the start of school. Also failed to mention Silver Creek, which split away from that, their own independent school district, for the first time ever. They voted yesterday as well to begin school on August 12th. So a couple local school districts delaying the start of school. We'll be interested to see how that affects sports and if others follow suit as well and end up delaying the start of classes. Some set to begin later this month, July 30th or so, here for some of our big school corporations in the area. That's going to wrap things up for today. Have a great Tuesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.